Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their life, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody and a warm welcome to today's To Be show. My name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host on the show. And today you're in for a very, very, very special treat because we have a good friend of mine from Spain on the other line, and I talked about people that made choices and overcame challenges, and our guest of today definitely overcame challenges, a lot of them, and she obviously made the right choices. So I'm really keen to hear how she did that. I'm sure that can help a lot of us listeners. And today our guest is the 1 minute coach, Marsha Malka. And Marsha is from former Soviet Union. She's a refugee. She left her home country, the Ukraine, at age 17. She didn't speak English. She didn't speak German. And they went to Austria and later to the United States. And she knows what it's like to live at poverty or even below poverty level. And when you look at Marsha today, and she's not an old lady, you know, she's a young woman, a mother of three incredible, incredible, incredible children, my absolute favorites. And when you look at how much she has achieved in those years since she had to flee from her home country, went to a country where she knew nobody and didn't even speak the language. It's just absolutely awe-inspiring. So, Marsha, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Barbara. What a wonderful introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I know that what you've gone through, and as I've also been a refugee, so I have some experience with that too. And, of course, we personally know each other. So I am very much aware what you have achieved in the last 5 years since we have met and since we've stayed in contact and have even worked together for a little while, and it's absolutely awe-inspiring. It's definitely very inspirational. So I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you've been up to.
Okay, with pleasure, Barbara. Thank you. Well, I call myself the one-minute coach, and I help people live basically easier and happier and more fulfilling lives. And I base my coaching and my books and my speaking as well, I base it on my personal experience. And you pretty much summarized my background, you know, becoming a refugee from a Soviet Union at the age of 17 and then moving to a country that was very, very different in terms of the mindset to Soviet mentality, to America. And, of course, you know, I felt pretty lost there. There weren't many Russian people then, hardly any, really. It was 22 years ago. In order for me not just to succeed but to survive, I really had to learn quickly. And not just the language so that I could communicate and make some friends, but many other things. For example, I had to relearn that being wealthy and having money is not bad, as we were taught in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. I had to learn even simple things such as dreaming, you know, having dreams and creating visions is something that is good, where in my upbringing, we were told that daydreaming or dreaming is just a waste of time. You don't do that. Another thing that I learned, that taking care of my own needs, not just very important, but probably the most important, because it's the best way to take care of other people's needs. And again, we were brought up with the mindset that you know, the community comes first and you second. Another good thing is that finally I didn't have to be afraid to admit that I'm Jewish, which took me a while to be able to say that without feeling scared. But most importantly, what I learned is that now I had the freedom to do, to be, and to have anything that I wanted, as long as, of course, I was willing to take action. In fact, it took me 10 years from the moment that I arrived to United States of America to the time where I finally realized that I am in control of my life, nobody else. It's due to my thoughts, my decisions, my actions is what happens to my life. And it has nothing to do where I came from, how much money I have or don't have, what contacts I have or don't have, whether I'm male, female, tall or short. You know, it had to do with what I decide it's going to be like and the actions that they take. So once I had that transformation, once I had that shift, my life began to change very rapidly. But even when it started to change, you know, I still, of course, came across many obstacles and many lessons that I had to learn, which brought me to where I am now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I wrote a blog post today about cause and effect, and when you take that shift, that you actually see that you are at cause, that you are causing your life to be the way it is, however it is, good or bad, it definitely shifts your perception of life totally, your perception of your own power also totally. So you start to understand that you are in control and that you can make your life better if it is not the way, not going the way that you want it to go. So
definitely.
At the age 27, you actually took your life into your hands and decided, okay, I have a dream. I have a vision for my life that I want to live. And what happened then?
Well, you pointed out something very important, is that up to then, I really did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I had no vision, I had no purpose, I didn't even know what it meant, you know, having a vision and a purpose.
Mm.
And I felt like I was living in the darkness, you know, of not knowing where I'm going. On the outside, I seemed happy and relatively successful, but on the inside, I was really struggling because there were people around me, they knew exactly what they wanted, they were focused, they were working on their goal, and I took every possible subject in school and I changed jobs like there's no tomorrow because I wanted to find what really fulfilled me and I couldn't find it. And when I finally understood what it is that makes me happy and what it is that I want to do, my life really became a lot more enjoyable and fulfilling. And, you know, even the way you start the day is quite different when you live your life on purpose, which is very important.
Definitely.
Let me just
ask you a question, Marsha, because I think it's very important that the listeners understand this. Do you find also in your coaching practice and in your seminars and workshops that the majority or many, many, many people, they are searching, but they don't really know what they're searching for? They just know that something is missing still in their life. It's not really that, you know, but it's not bad, but it's not very exciting. It's not purposeful. It's not really focused. Because what I found in my life trainings, especially, that more than 90% of the audience, and they are already in this topic, otherwise they wouldn't go to this type of trainings, they don't really know what they want to do with their life. Mm-hmm. And that gives them this insecurity and gives them this frustration and dissatisfaction with their life. Do you have similar experience?
Definitely, definitely. Unfortunately, more people than not are in this situation where, just as you described, you know, they're not quite clear what they want. They're drifting from one thing to another, not really feeling fulfilled or satisfied with themselves in their life. And you know what? I think It often has to do with our bringing, because many of us are brought up to be people pleasers, which means that we are so busy taking care of other people's needs that we forget about our own needs and our own wants and what really makes us happy. And so we end up living someone else's life based on their beliefs and their expectations of us, and then wondering why we feel so unfulfilled and happy and resentful, and sometimes even sick, because, you know, when we don't live our own lives, it makes us sick physically. So it is very important to step aside, and if anybody can relate to what I'm saying, to this kind of emotion, and just tell yourself you need to become a little bit more selfish, and selfish in a good way, taking care of self and putting yourself and your needs first for a change, and taking time to really understand what it is that you want, what it is that you're looking for. You know, if I ask you a question, if you had all the money and time in the world and knew without a doubt that you would succeed, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this question will give you a really good indication as to what your passion is about, because you put aside your limiting beliefs about money, that you might not have enough or it's not the right timing, that you might not have enough time. It takes away your fears or doubts about succeeding. So once you remove all that unnecessary thing and you really focus on something that makes you really happy and that you're passionate about and that you enjoy doing, that gives you very good indication which direction you need to take.
I could not agree more with you with that. I mean, definitely, it's a question that I ask every single client, because I was talking to, actually, a countryman of yours in Ukraine just a couple of weeks ago, and he always seemed to be very, very focused on everything he was doing, very businesslike, very intentional with all the things that he was doing. And he contacted me a couple of weeks ago on Skype, and he said, Barbara, I need your help. I don't know what's happening, but I need to change something in my life. I'm not moving forward. I'm just turning around in cycles. And I said, okay, let's look at it. What is it that you want? And then there was this long silence on the other end. And he said, okay, I get back to you when I know, you know. He was really shocked. It was the most obvious for me, the number one question. Mm-hmm. And so I just sent him my book, because I have all these questions in there. And I said, just go through, you know, the first few chapters and you will have the answers for all of this. You will find the answers. And he said, this is so shocking for me, because I'm always talking about goal setting and achieving, you know, my goals and my dreams, but I never really clarify it, except for small business goals, but I never clarified what the big picture is, what I really want in my life.
Yeah, the big picture is very important, because, you know, goals, they're short-term, and in general we tend to overestimate what we can achieve in 1 year and underestimate what we can achieve in 5. So it is very important to start, before you set the goals, to start with a long-term vision, at least 5 years, maybe even 10 years vision of your ideal life. And that gives you an indication of the destination of where you're going. Then you take that and you break it down into, you know, more specific goals, and then goals into action steps.
Mm-hmm.
So long-term vision is very important.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Oh, I'm so sorry. I have such a bad cold. So I'm struggling a little bit with my breathing. So tell listeners, please, how you manage to successfully balance the demands of your family, because you have 3 children, a husband, a house, and your career, your friends, and your own personal needs. How do you manage to balance that? Because I admire that very much in you.
Well, thank you, Barbara, and thank you again for your very nice comments about my children. That's very
I
nice
love
you.
Them.
Thank you. Well, it's I can't say it's always easy. You know, there are moments where I find myself in a situation thinking, you know, it's hard, and you just need to focus on one thing at a time. Basically, my philosophy is one step at a time, 1 minute at a time, one little action at a time. because if I focus on all the big projects, all my big dreams that I have right now, I can get really overwhelmed and just maybe even give up on all of them, because I'd say, you know, when will I ever find the time to do it? But if I just focus on one little step that will lead me in the direction of achieving that dream, and I mean like making a phone call or writing one page of towards something, towards the book or towards an audio program, just one little thing, and before you know it, it all accumulates, and at the end I have a completed project. It happened to me when I unexpectedly, as you know, got pregnant with my third child.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I discovered I was pregnant, I started production of my book, the 1 Minute Coach book. And I had a lot of clients, and I was traveling, I was doing speaking. I already had two children, and I finally kind of began to feel a little bit more freedom, because my second daughter, Julia, she was already three and a half, so she was a bit more independent. And I was in shock. I'm like, how am I going to do this? You know, all this work I put into building what I have right now, I'm going to have to give it all up, because, you know, I can't possibly be pregnant, taking care of a little baby and another two children and business and clients. It's just too much. And then I took a step back and I said to myself, okay, it happened for a reason. I believe everything happens for a reason, and I believe everything happens for better. So having that philosophy in mind, I said, okay, it was meant to happen. Let's just take it one day at a time. You know, I'm working on a book. I'll keep working on a book. You know, pregnancy doesn't mean that I have to stay tied to anything, to bed or anything like that. And that's what I did. I just took one little step at a time, went through my pregnancy, taking care of kids, not stressing too much. And then my baby was born, and 2 weeks later, my book was published, arrived actually in the mail. And
another baby was born.
I was celebrating the birth of two babies, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I remember that, yeah. And, I mean, Marsha, when I give you compliments about your children, you know that I really mean that. They are absolutely incredible. I mean, you are an amazing mother.
Oh, thank you.
They are just, apart from being really beautiful kids, they are also so well-behaved and so natural, you know, not well-behaved like well-trained, like you find sometimes. But they just do it, out of their... Yeah, they just do it naturally, and that means to me that there is a harmonious environment where they live, you know, so they don't have the need to fight, they don't have to need to push themselves forward.
Mm-hmm.
They are just naturally happy kids. They're lovely.
Actually, I want to add something on this topic before we move on, because
mm-hmm.
There might be a lot of mothers listening right now who might be stay-at-home moms, that, you know, the children, family priority, and but maybe they feel a need for something else, which is what happened to me. I mean, I used to be a full-time mother with Veronica, my first baby, but when she was 2 years old, I found myself hanging laundry, and just I felt the tears, just these big tears running down my cheeks, and I thought to myself, what's wrong with me? You know, I have everything I ever wanted. I have a loving husband. I have a beautiful baby. I'm living in this beautiful country, Spain. What's the problem? And I just felt there was this gap, that something was missing. And maybe it's not happening to everyone, but if it does happen, you know, you got to realize that it's okay to actually focus on this and to take care of your needs, because by taking care of your needs is the best way to take care of your children and your family. Because when you're happy and fulfilled, you can make them happy and fulfilled. And also, I believe that when children grow up seeing their parents, especially their mother, fulfilling their dreams and going after their dreams and doing what they love doing and not necessarily sacrificing their lives for themselves, because then they carry the burden, you know, my parents sacrificed their life, which is not always good either. So as long as you give lots of love and whatever attention they need, and you tune into their needs, and you're there for them when they need you, and they know that you'll always be there for them when they need you, it's very good to do something for yourself as well.
I can say amen to that. Definitely. I was talking to a lady in London a few weeks ago, and she said a young woman that was running a business, she built up her own business, and she was running it, and she said, you know, I would love to have a child. Now is the time to have a child, but I don't know how I can manage that. And I thought of you, and I told her to get your book, because I said, you know, this is one thing that you will find out that if you go one step at a time, and yeah, you must have a big picture, the vision is important so that you can actually live into it, but you must take those small steps by step by step and not start worrying about things that are not even in existence. They are not even on the horizon, right? Like in her case, it was just a thought of wanting a child, but it wasn't there. It wasn't yet growing. And already she was worrying about it. She was worrying about how she will handle it, how she will handle the business, how she will handle the baby. Will I be a good mom? Will I have time for my business? Will the business suffer? Will the child suffer? Will our marriage suffer? And all that kind of worrying stuff that I find pretty, useless.
It is very common, though. Very, very common.
Very common, yeah, I know, very common. But not very empowering, because if you worry about things that, I mean, not only in that environment, but if you worry about anything that is highly likely not to even happen ever, then, you know, you're just stopping yourself. It's just another excuse for not doing what you really want to do. And, you know, you get older and you know that. I mean, you know me well enough. You know that I'm pushing my dream forward continuously. And it's not going half as fast as I want it to. And I'm getting older and older and I'm getting more desperate. Like, oh, my God, you know, I'm getting too old. And I was listening to Zig Ziglar the other day and he said, I'm not thinking of retiring. I'm refiring. And I thought, this is a good one. So I'm keeping that with me.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to have all those limiting beliefs and in your mind. You know, I call this voice in your head that's preventing you from taking action, Mr. Yeah, but. As you know, with the example you just gave with this young lady who wants to have a child, she would say, yeah, I would really want to have a child. And the voice might say it inside, yeah, but will you have time, enough time to give to this child?
Exactly.
Yes, but, you know, will you succeed? So this semester, yeah, but living in your head, rent-free, keeping you from doing what you know you should be doing, what you know is going to make you happy and fulfilled. And he's basically controlling. And then the question you ask yourself is, who is in control, me or this silly voice in my head that's stopping me from taking action and living my dream? You know, one way to get rid of this voice, Mr. Yebat, is I always recommend to put a rubber band on your wrist. And
I've got one around my wrist. I've got one at the moment around my wrist, yeah.
Excellent, fantastic. Well, you know, you're a doer, you know, you do take action. You have a rubber band on your wrist, and every time you find yourself telling yourself, yeah, but, you know, I really need to start exercising. Yeah, but it's raining this morning. I'll go tomorrow. I really shouldn't eat any sweets. Yeah, but, you know, it's a birthday party. You know, I'm going to offend the person. I'll do it next time. So all this, every time you find yourself finding excuses for something that you know you should or should not be doing, pull that rubber band, slap your wrist. And it's a neurolinguistic programming technique, and it really works because it makes you aware of that voice that stops you from doing what you know you should be doing. And once you become aware, it's the first step. It's much easier to take control and take the next step and say, you know what, it's my life, I'm in control, and I'm going to leave it the way I think it's right.
That's it, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I use that with the rubber band whenever I get into a doubting state. You know, when things are not moving as fast, you know that I always want things to move fast. So when they're not moving as fast as I want them, then I have my rubber band around my wrist, and I've been doing that for many years. And
yeah, and
really,
the first time we spoke about it was, 6 years ago, remember?
Yeah. And I got them, I think, when I saw Mark Victor Hansen and Robert G. Allen the first time. I can't remember when that was, in 2000-something. And they were giving them to us in the audience. Everybody got one of those bands. And I thought they were just for decoration. And then they explained, and I thought, this is fantastic, because it's really painful. And we learn from joy, from pleasure, and from pain. And, you know, you train yourself, you train your thoughts, you train the negative thoughts. I mean, Okay, you become aware that this thought is painful, it's unpleasant, so you train it to go away, to stay away.
That's
and
right.
It works really well. I don't
okay.
wear it very often, but it's just at the moment I do have one around my belt, my arm. Haven't used it the last few days, but I had some occasion last week, and I thought, okay, time for your rubber band again. And it's interesting because we are a work in progress, aren't we? I mean, this is a never-ending progress. And the further you go, the more aware you become, which is great, but also the more challenging the challenges are.
Well,
I don't know
I
said that right.
Well, I think it gets easier because when you get in a habit of facing your fears, and it's all it is, you know, when you're growing, when you're pushing yourself to be better and to do better, you're constantly facing your fears. You're constantly pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, which is, you know, quite fearful because it's the fear of unknown. You know, it's a fear of, well, what if I failed? What if it's worse there? But you cannot change unless you do take yourself out of comfort zone and unless you do face some kind of fears. And I think the more you do it, the easier it gets because you learn then that the emotion of fear, the fear itself, is a lot more painful than the action that helps you face that fear and overcome that fear. And once you realize that, then you really become empowered and you really move quite quickly towards your dream.
Yeah, that's true, that the fear itself is more painful than the actually action when you actually do it. And it's never as bad as you expected it to be. And that is the anticipation that you have, the doubt, the fear, the worry. And I normally say, look at the worst case scenario. What is the worst that can happen? And how are you going to feel about that? And then, you know, it's highly unlikely that the very worst case is happening. So you already faced it. You know that you will survive it. And then you can take the action without this strong feeling of fear. And soon you will see, like you said, that it's not so difficult to overcome. Yeah, it takes practice.
Yeah.
We are almost coming... Pardon, we're almost coming to an end, Marcia, so I would like our listeners to know how they can get in touch with you because time always runs very fast, how they can get in touch with you, and then you can give them a few last words. And
well, the first thing I would like for listeners to do is to go to my website, which is marciamalka.com, and that's M-A-S-H-A-M-A-L-K-A. .com, which is, of course, on your Blog Talk Radio website as well. While on the website, please sign up for a free newsletter, the 1 Minute Coach. It's a 1 Minute inspirational newsletter that you get once a week. And also look out for my book, The 1 Minute Coach, Change Your Life 1 Minute at a Time. You can buy it on Amazon or in a nearby bookstore, even if you live, you know, in whichever country you live in, you know, they should be able to order it from there. And what I want to say at the end is the most important job that any of us can do or should do is to find out who you really are. It's the job that happens within. It's the one that's unheard and unseen. And it's becoming the kind of person who attracts all that you want in life. Becoming the best you can be. And in the process, not just changing your life and the lives of the people around you, but changing the world for the better.
They were good last words, Marcia. Thank you very much for being on the show. And for everybody else, for your listeners, take to heart what Marcia said because she's living what she's teaching. That's for sure. I've been watching her for 6 years. And she's gone from a fairly dark place when I first met her to be a successful best-selling author, speaker, and coach. So please take it to heart. I will see you on Thursday at midday Eastern Standard Time, same station, and we will talk about the next step from my book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours. For now, you've been listening to the To Be Show and your host is Barbara Hofmeister. See you on Thursday.